This is Date Night with Sam and Evan, a segment of the Your Queer Story podcast about gay things we heard in the media, gay things we watched on TV, funny stories that aren't really funny, and laughs in between. Hey guys, and welcome back to Date Night with Sam and Evan, episode 2.
I want you to know that they have all heard you slam your phone down before.
I was looking. I have a missed call from my father.
He's very concerned that we're not going to get our pool supplies. Yes. We'll talk about that at the end. But yeah, welcome back, guys, to the
I gotta vibe back in. I gotta get back in.
Okay, yeah. She's not used to podcasting like some of the rest of us veterans, so it takes her a while. Now I can just dive into a podcast anywhere, anytime. Oh, good. Thank you for fixing your springs right in the middle of me talking.
So I just want to sit comfortably. Yeah. I don't want to have to lean the whole time.
Absolutely.
So we forgot the entire format of this show and had to do some research, but we figured it out. Are you looking at what gay day is?
I'm looking to see if there's any birthdays or anything we want to call out. I mean, stuff that me, Paul, and I never call out. It was when this episode drops. So let's see. We've got Frank Kameny's birthday on Friday, May 21st. And then the day after him is Harvey Milk.
I know that
That's
guy.
That's interesting. You know that guy.
Yes. I mean, not personally, but I watched the movie many times. It's a good movie.
We also got Pansexual and Panromantic Awareness Day coming up on May 24th.
We have a little queer calendar next to us that has queer dates. You should have started with that.
No. I just want them to think that I'm thinking of this stuff off the top of my head.
You just know these facts.
I do. Well, you know, I know a lot of them. Anyways. Christine Jorgensen's birthday is coming up. What was the new thing? That show we're watching.
There's a documentary series called Pride on Hulu.
Yeah, on Hulu. It's a Fox documentary series, but they're doing pretty good.
Not Fox, FX.
Oh, FX, excuse me. Yeah. But they're doing pretty good. Yeah, I like it. So yeah, you should check that out. I mean,
yeah. So basically, if you listen to Your Queer Story, the regular podcast, the history version, it's just that show. So we just sat there and Evan just told me everything before the documentary even had time to inform me.
Yeah.
Evan was already telling me things.
And I was very proud of myself because, I mean, I was spot on.
And he was right the whole time.
I was. Yeah. I mean, I have been doing this for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. So this is just our check-in. Do you have anything you want to check in with about for the listeners?
I Googled gay news before we started this just to see what was going on in the world.
Okay.
And the gay police in New York City are mad at New York City Pride for taking the police out of Pride.
Are you bringing politics into date
night? I'm not bringing politics into date night.
Go ahead.
It's too much. No. I hate confrontation, everyone. But I do feel a little bad for the gay police. Uh-huh. I don't feel bad for the police.
Yeah.
Certainly not like white straight police at all.
Yeah.
But I do feel bad for marginalized communities who also happened to become police officers, you know, black police officers too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know. That sucks. Now you're like stuck in this group of people that are hated by your community, but you're in both communities. And they could just also stop being police officers. But
yeah,
it's easier said than done to leave your career.
I mean, you know? I do agree. Yeah, it is.
And I'm sure as a gay police officer, it's really fun to go to Pride and be in the parade and everything. And now they're not going to do it in that fashion. But I also agree that absolutely the police should not be at Pride. So
yeah,
I'm certainly on the side of like no police at Pride. Why are they needed? It's not needed.
We don't have, I mean, sometimes, not always, but like it's not like you have nurses in Pride. You don't have nurses walking down Pride. Yeah. You don't have people in other professions.
Sometimes there's teachers at Pride,
There's like a school district, loosely, like politicians who are usually campaigning are walking in Pride. But for the most part, people aren't walking in their profession at Pride. They might be walking with a nonprofit organization. You see some churches
or corporations like Stop and Shop.
Like things like that. But
Stop and Shop is a grocery store.
But they're not retail workers walking for Pride. They're representing their corporation that's sponsoring Pride. Whereas the police don't sponsor Pride and historically have done everything they can to stop Pride until a little more recently, and even then.
Yeah. Like I said, I do agree with not having the police there
I don't see why you can't, the police officers can't just attend Pride like everyone else or walk with something else, you know, walk for an AIDS foundation, walk for something that's not
but
about
then
the police.
Everybody won't know they're the police, and that's really what they want in life.
And then that kind of comes back to the argument.
Exactly.
I agree. That's kind of why we didn't want you in the first place, and we don't really care that you're mad.
Maybe we should cut all of this out.
No, I think it's a good conversation because I think a lot of people start with that and they say, well, I see where they're coming from, you know, like they're gay and they're cops, or they hate it by both. And I hate it by both. It's just the cops don't treat the queer community well. They still don't treat the queer community well. And you're working for an organization that has had decades of not treating your own people well, and maybe it got involved because you thought you were going to change the system, just like a lot of Black officers, a lot of Latinx officers got involved because they thought they were going to change the system, and we find that that system can't be changed. I don't blame them for trying that approach. I do blame them, though, for seeing that that approach clearly isn't going to work and trying to blame the rest of us for still calling them out. But then again, this is why we don't do politics on date night.
No, we don't do politics. Not that we don't have the same agreeing politics. Yeah, yeah. I am not a good political arguer.
Debater.
Debater. That would be the word. Debater.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at debates. I tend to, like if you make, I can make a real strong argument and the second somebody counters it, I'm like, okay, yeah, you make good points.
That's true.
Sounds good.
True. That is true. She doesn't. Yeah.
I don't have the confidence to be like, no, I'm certainly definitely more right than you. I just am like, well, I guess we both could be right. And so I'll just stop.
My fundamentalist background helps me make believe that I am right about everything, which it's I have had to learn and work on not, but I can get very passionate about something real quick.
I do wonder often how you can be so sure you're right on things. I'm like, he's so confident that he's correct, and he's not.
Wow. No, that is fundamentalist conditioning. Like, you grow up with that idea that you are right about everything. You have to be right about everything because your entire identity and community and everything hinges on it. So, and then you grew up with a very balanced perspective of the world and the reality that life isn't so black and white. Mm-hmm. And so you bring balance to our relationship.
I know. And all right. So I think we need to get started on our next topic.
Yeah. Well,
Wait. There's going to be a fancy transition.
Yeah. You have to introduce us into our next.
Next up, gay things currently happening in the world. On today's hot topic, we are going to talk about queer artist Demi Lovato and how they identify as non-binary starting today.
Yeah, which
I mean, I'm sure they started before the press release, but we found out today. So
it's really been beneficial, and we want to thank all the queer people that have decided to make coming outs on the day that Samantha and I record an episode, because
yes, thank you note to Colton Underwood, Demi Lovato.
Who will it be next month? Who do we
want
to come out?
Let me make a guess.
Take a guess.
Who
are we waiting to come out? I want it to be
Sophia Bush.
Sophia, she's not coming out. Also, hasn't she kind of flirted with the idea of maybe being?
I don't know, but I want a statement.
Okay, well,
I follow her on Instagram, and she's friends with only lesbians. So
yeah, well, she seems very much like that. Like that strong ally that's always so strong an ally. You're like, huh. But really is just an ally. I feel like that.
I don't
maybe.
Know. But I can wish. I can dream.
That's what I think of Kristen.
I can manifest.
Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard, same thing, right? They've got like 1,001 queer friends. And so much so that you're like, and you guys 100% straight, huh?
Don't talk about them.
That's not bad things.
No, I know. It's not a bad thing. I'm just joking. I just love them.
I know.
If you have something bad to say about them, please don't shatter it for me. Okay. Plenty of things get shattered in this world. Do not shatter Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard for me.
I don't know how any
it's
of
like
us.
My 20-year infatuation with Tom Brady just crumbling to the ground.
Oh my God. All right. We're not even getting. I said we're not talking about anything else controversial.
I don't agree with anything Tom Brady agrees with in life. I just grew up as a small child in a place that idolized him. So I knew nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. A young child in New England. I mean, he was God.
Yeah. It wasn't my fault. Just saying, it really shattered at one point, and that was sad. That was hard to come through.
Coming to New England the first year, I think, I'm pretty sure the Patriots were in the Super Bowl that first year. It was 2014.
What year did you come? Yes.
Yeah. And that was unsettling for me. And I mean, I came from Chicago area where the Bulls, all the shit. So that was intense. But let's get back to queer artists coming out, Demi Lovato.
And Demi Lovato. So could you pull up an article? About Demi Lovato, because I have done no research on them coming out except for to know that they came out. And I would like a little bit more, like I would like some quotes that they gave. And we're going to delve into sobriety and coming out, which is a great topic.
I only found out that they came out because someone reached out to me in a panic and was like, they said, you know, I feel that this best represents the fluidity that I feel in my gender expression and allows me to feel most authentic and true to the person I both know I am and still am discovering. And then after a lot of healing and self-reflective work, I am still learning and coming into myself, and I don't claim to be an expert or spokesperson. Sharing this with you now opens up another level of vulnerability to me. For me, someone tried to pull the, you know, they're just, and of course they didn't say they used Demi's wrong pronouns, but they're like, they're, you know, it's just so sad because it's obvious that they're hurting from their sobriety and we've seen how much they've struggled. And now that this is just another attempt to get the spotlight and another attempt to be heard. And again, like we see a lot where people look at trans people or non-binary people and say, this is just a cry for help.
So, yeah. So we mentioned this very briefly in the car with each other while we were driving our child to soccer practice. We were talking about this because, of course, what else are you going to talk about on the way to soccer practice, and just making the connection that sometimes your sobriety maybe doesn't stick because you're not living in your authentic truth. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't live in your authentic truth because you don't have sobriety. So you can't navigate those waters. So, you know, it is very much a circle. And sometimes once you finally hit that good rhythm, mm-hmm. like Evan,
yeah.
Evan was, what were you 2 years sober?
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
2 years sober yeah. when he started to transition. And I would say, as an outside perspective, I mean, I was there for all of it, yeah. but I wasn't him. But living it very closely, I would say that your sobriety came easier once you transitioned.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have transitioned if you weren't sober.
Yeah. It's really weird because it did. I mean, everything about transitioning or being authentic in sobriety, at least the form of sobriety that I use, and people use different methods and that's totally okay. But in this form that I use, like we get chips and on the chips, it says to thine own self be true. So for me, sobriety really hinged on me being true to myself. And I couldn't be true to myself if I'm literally living in an identity that doesn't match who I am. And so it would make sense that someone like Demi or other non-binary, trans, any LGBTQ person in recovery comes to a point where they have to, you know, where they have to look at themselves and say, how honest am I being with myself? Because that's really crucial for staying sober and healing properly, is to be honest. First of all, brutally honest with yourself. Any kind of healing, even if you look at the four dimensions of healing, being brutally honest with yourself is essential. And so you can't be brutally honest with yourself if you're not looking at your identity honestly. And so, yeah, it was a circle of like, I need to be honest with myself about my identity, and that honesty keeps me sober. But they're not the only person. I mean, it seems like more recently, more stars have had the courage to come out and use they, them pronouns, which especially has been hard, I think, because even if you did come out as trans or you did come out as queer, asking people to change your pronouns was like the biggest fucking deal in the world.
Yeah, it's also hard, obviously, to ask people to use pronouns that are not as well used in society. Yeah. It was hard enough, like Evan transitioning and people changing pronouns was hard enough for however long it was hard, which was a long time. Yeah. And people were using pronouns that they were used to using.
Yeah.
For others, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it's just gonna, it's the kind of thing that's gonna come with a lot of criticism. It's like when Adam Lambert was gay on American Idol, you know, just that it was like the most absurd, ridiculous thing anybody could have imagined. You know, everybody was like, oh my God, he was kissing a man. There's this absurdity about it because he was the first one, or I don't know, Elton John. I'm trying to think of other like trail. Basically, anybody that's trailblazing in a space like an LGBT space or any minority group, but any trailblazer is going to be met with such aversion before it becomes the norm. And I feel like Sam Smith is another, you know, non-binary person.
Jonathan Van Ness.
Van Ness. Yeah. Although, I mean, who's coming?
Well, that's what I mean. Like Jonathan Van Ness, I feel I was saying, when people think of non-binary people, they always think of someone like Jonathan Van Ness, right? Like who very clearly walks in like this middle line of the gender binaries. If there is, there's no such thing as gender binaries, but in our world of gender binaries, Jonathan Van Ness walks down this middle line and people think that's what you have to look like to be non-binary. And you can look like that. You also can look like Sam Smith and Demi Lovato. You also can have, and I don't even know that either of them really have a binary look, but.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when you're non-binary, you're expressing life on your own terms.
Yeah.
So, you know, anybody could be non-binary and
present.
They don't need to present. Yeah. You're not presenting a specific way.
I saw you, your light came on, and you were going to say something.
I know. Oh, no. What if I lost it? I'd also like to add to this pronoun discussion that go change your pronouns on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Because the more people do it, the more normalized it is in society. Yeah. So I changed my pronouns on Instagram. I had to figure out how to update the app to do so. Yeah. I had 45 apps that were not updated. So who knew?
Whoa.
But I put in the work.
I'm so proud
of you. What I mean? I'm an LGBTQ trailblazer.
You just are.
I'm not.
Absolutely. Going on Instagram and changing your pronouns. We have to normalize using pronouns.
Yeah.
At least where we're at in our society. I mean, eventually I hope we come to a point where it's different and we just view gender in a completely different lens. But, and that might not happen in our lifetime or it might happen when we're much later. But for now, normalizing the fact that people present their pronouns and that there are multiple different kinds of pronouns because there are many, many genders is important. And I tell people, which I've been working on a presentation for work, and you know.
He's always working on a presentation for work or a presentation for someone somewhere. Honestly, if you want a presentation, reach out to Evan Jones via the Your Queer Story podcast. Just say, I'd like a presentation.
And I'll make you one.
Honestly, don't even give him a topic and he'll make you it.
I'll whip it up. I will.
He'll spend a Saturday afternoon telling me, well, I just got to work on this one presentation real quick.
Yeah, okay. It's true, though. But I was going to say that, you know, one way to normalize pronouns, and I'm always telling people, is you have to use them in private. I don't know how many times I'm with someone, usually says gender, but not, you know, and usually straight, but often it can also be, you know, a gay or lesbian or bisexual individual or someone who's not maybe in the, you know, they're part of the LGBT.
Who's cisgender.
Yeah, they're cisgender. That's what I want. Thank you. They're cisgender. And I don't know how many times I'm with people and they're using the wrong pronoun in private and they're not trying to be flippant about it, but they're also not trying to catch themselves and correct themselves. You have to practice that shit. You know?
Oh, because the other person's not around.
Right. The other person's not there.
So behind closed doors, you're talking about Maggie. Mm-hmm. Maggie goes by they, them pronouns.
And you're saying she, her.
And you're saying she, her, but you're like, oh, I keep trying to fix that.
But yeah.
So, but yeah. And then she went to the grocery store.
Like, yeah.
Well, if you keep trying to fix it every time.
Every time. Know? Exactly. You can't say you're working on it and continue to use the person's wrong pronouns.
And it was the same way when, again, sorry to keep referencing Evan's transition, but he's my husband.
Yeah.
And I transitioned with him in spirit, you know, not in actuality. But so obviously it's my greatest frame of reference.
Yeah.
And so when Evan transitioned, there were like two different ways people would do. They would mess up his pronoun and just keep going. And then maybe stop me like, oh. Sorry. Or something. Yeah. I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm trying. And they were trying and nobody was outwardly, or maybe like one person in our life was one specific person was outwardly rude, but we don't talk to them anymore. But other than that, everybody else in our life, in our circle, thanks everyone who's listening. That was great. Yep. They were great and they tried. And so sometimes people would just keep moving on. And then sometimes you'd be like, Evan, blah, 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 say the wrong pronoun and then say he Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. And keep moving on. And it's not until you correct that every time. It's like you're trying to learn it's like how you're trying to learn anything else in life. Like if you're trying to learn a multiplication fact and you keep saying 7 times 2 is 15. And every time you say 7 times 2 is 15, you're like, oh, that's wrong. And you just keep moving on and you don't say like, no, it's 14 instead. You're not going to remember it the right way. Yeah. So you have to stop and you have to do that in every setting. You would never be like, oh, I got this wrong one time. You know, like it's in every setting and in every way in your life. I challenge everyone listening, all 5 of you. I don't know how many views I got last time, but I hope it was a lot.
It was.
That while others are talking about Demi Lovato, even if they're not agreeing or they're trying to be some heated conversations, that the one thing you can do is just be like, I know, but you know what? Yeah, I guess that's just what they wanted to do.
They just keep putting it out there and you keep correcting, you keep saying it. And then if you do mess up someone's pronouns, which I say this a lot on the podcast, but I will always reiterate, please don't make it this massive deal, right? Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm trying so hard. Or, oh, wow, I just feel awful. Because then it just makes the person feel even more uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants that. You stop, you own it, and you move on. You know, that's what you do. Oh, sorry, my mistake. And then you move and then correct yourself and you move on. So those are all the ways. I mean, and I think that celebrities are a great way if you are not used to if you don't have a non-binary person in your life and you're not used to using these pronouns, celebrities are a great way for you to practice. Again, correcting yourself with celebrities is a great way for you to get used to calling people by they, them pronouns. And whenever we do finally have a celebrity that can use Zzer pronouns or some of the other pronouns that are out there, same thing. Practicing using those pronouns so that we can get them into our society and make them regular frame of reference or regular terminology. Also, kudos to Wikipedia and whoever the fuck is running those pages because they are on top of that shit. I went on to Demi Lovato's page today and all the pronouns were already changed to they, them.
Now on to gay things we listen to or watch on TV.
And now, queer reviews, or as Samantha likes to call it, whatever jumble of words come to her mouth.
Gay things we watched on TV and listened to and maybe saw once in a movie.
Okay.
So today, no, please let me say it.
No,
I'm honored to announce this, that we're going to review The Aces.
The Aces.
The Aces is just a wonderful band that brings me so much joy in my life. I equally love Haim.
Yes.
Which they're about the same band, except for Haim doesn't have gay members. Queer. It's not queer.
No.
So now The Aces has maybe gone up a notch on my belt.
Yeah.
They are both equal, but
I like The Aces much better than Haim. There's nothing wrong with Haim.
Rude.
There's nothing wrong with Haim, but I feel like The Aces have more of an edge to them. Haim looks like a sorority house, and The Aces look like the girls that got kicked out of the sorority house and don't give a fuck.
Okay, Haim doesn't look like a sorority house, and that Haim is not who we're talking about, and we're going to stop this conversation. So if you have not heard The Aces, they have 2 albums that I love. I mean, they have more than this, but these are the 2 that I've listened to. When My Heart Felt Volcanic. And Under My Influence.
Mm-hmm.
They are from Utah.
Yep.
And some of them are formerly Mormon.
The lead
and 2
singer.
Of them identify as lesbians.
Yes.
So that's all some great stuff.
Also, it's great, but also I love how you don't know anything about them.
I do know. I just, I don't like to be so sure on my facts. What if I was wrong?
They originated in Provo, Utah. And what's her name? Elisa Ramirez and Crystal Ramirez are the lead singers, I believe. I am almost positive. Yes, Crystal Ramirez is the lead vocal. And Elisa Ramirez is not a vocalist. She's on the drums. But those are the 2 that are out as queer individuals. And they really took off. Well, 2016 is when they got their start, but I would say they really started to take off around 2018-19, and then their album last year in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic, which was Under My Influence, is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, so I am about to let me discuss some of these songs. So first, my favorite song of the album. Everybody, when you're done with this podcast, and only when you're done, please write down, get a post-it note, write on the notes on your phone. Mm-hmm. Kelly by the Aces.
Kelly
is a wonderful song.
A great pod. It's a great song. It's a great pride song, which quick plug here. If you go to Spotify and you search your Queer Story playlist, we have a queer pride playlist. And then we have just a queer for queers, which is all queer artists singing queer songs. And Kelly is on that list.
Oh, Kelly.
Samantha's the only one who can sing here. I'm not going to sing for any of you.
To play with my heart.
What I like about the Aces is...
You're out of heart. Oh, Kelly. You can cut that part out.
No, I'll leave it in there.
Want yourself...
But the kids
will come over.
I want you singing into the microphone while the kids' heels pound on the ceiling. In general, the song, it's the album is just go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, stop.
Please.
Let me read you the first lyric of the song, and you will all be equally as hooked. Met a girl with a smile that I liked, and her name was Kelly. Golden hair and her eyes are that kind, make you feel like heaven. A girl singing.
Met a girl that I liked. You sound like you're in a Boston bar. A girl singing that. Can you imagine it?
Met a girl
singing about another girl. Liked,
and her name was Kelly.
Where did they get? It's crazy. Sorry. It's wild.
Listen, you don't get enough queer singing, queer songs.
Well, that's why I love the album, because the album, there's a couple songs like that, and it's just, but it's not tragic. It's not, we're getting more and more artists like that, like Girl in Red. And of course we've always
had
Ben Platt. Yes. Yeah. But Hayley Kiyoko, of course, she's been around for a while. L Devine or Devine, I think. I don't know how you spell it. D-E-V-I-N-E. Anyways, we have more and more artists that are just singing regular songs. But even those, I mean, we'll have a couple songs here that are about like how coming out and how hard it is. And that's fine. That's good. I mean, that's still a reality. But I felt like this album was just like, it was just so natural. Mm-hmm. And it was just so...
And it is so nice to listen to queer music and feel...
Like everyone else.
Scene.
Yeah. Yes.
Especially that song, Kelly, is great because it's just about like, it's flashback to episode one of Date Night when I said I would want a movie about two girls just like that met in college casually and fell in love. That's what that song is.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So that's what the album is. Just all that. It's just natural flowing.
So I'm going to give you the other gay songs in which a girl reference a girl.
Okay.
Good. Zillionaire by the Aces. Uh-huh. All the money in the world wouldn't matter to me, girl. You're the one that makes me feel like a zillionaire. You're
digging in here. Go ahead. Please keep going. I want all the times they stopped and said girl instead of boy. And that's what's so, that's how you know how starved we are as a community, that just someone saying the word girl instead of boy, we're like, oh, well, look at that.
I'm still doing some shit.
Oh, she's still doing it. What? No, there's the other one. It feels like it going home. Isn't that also?
That's not. That one just reminds you of me.
That one does remind me a lot of Samantha. Also, all right, my
got another
song.
One. Got another one. This one's good. This one's good. Got me wondering, did it all mean nothing?
Oh, that's
easy come, easy go. Girl, you give me vertigo. Make me dizzy the way you leave me. Like it's easy come, easy go. Girl, giving me vertigo.
I love all, does it all mean nothing? That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. That one. Okay. So let me, yeah. So All Mean Nothing by The Aces. Is basically about hooking up with a girl that I think is in the end going to be like,
I never hooked up.
I don't know. I've never kissed a girl. I think I'm straight. And so pretty much it's like,
yeah,
we went through all that and you're going to like, you're giving me vertigo. Like you're straight. You're not, you're coming, you're going. What's up?
Yeah. What else you got? I could pull it up right now.
I think those are the three where they reference girls.
There was another one.
I don't think everybody wants to wait for you to
search. I don't think everybody does either, but I could have sworn. Maybe it's just me. But just in general, and then when you, even the songs that aren't about other people, girls or whatever, I do love Daydream at the beginning of the album. It's a beautiful song. Great. It's like, they said that they have a lot of heavy influence from Paramore, and that comes out in a lot of their songs. Like My Phone Is Trying to Kill Me, I Can Break Your Heart Too. Good songs, just all good songs that you definitely want to check out. And if you want to see Crystal's coming out video, if you go to the Aces channel on YouTube, she talks about her coming out. She talks a little bit about growing up as in a Mormon environment and what it was like. It was nice when she came out and realized she wasn't going to be accepted. Her family followed her, so that was great. She had a lot of support.
And also in their first album called When My Heart Felt Volcanic or something like that. First off, there's a song called Lovin' Is Bible, which is great and you should listen to. But they were asked by the record company to not make things so gay, and so they didn't. Yeah. And that song, if you go listen to Lovin' Is Bible on that album, clearly is about, like, it's clearly a play on, like, religion and being gay.
Yeah.
But they don't reference, they don't make any queer references on the album. And so this one, they were just like, you know what? Fuck it. We're doing it, and we're doing it hard. And I appreciate that. And they did it well, and it's great. So
yeah,
I'm sure no regrets. I mean, maybe there are regrets for them. Maybe their record company dropped them for all I know. But no regrets for me. I'm glad they did it.
You know what? The record company's always trying. Movie studios, they're all wielding their power, trying to force people to stay in the line. And that's why we have had, that's why we've had 80 years of people in Hollywood who stayed in the closet because producers insisted you're going to lose everything if you come out. And it's all bullshit. We could have all been out of the closet a long time ago, whatever. But anyways, all that to say, the Aces, you need to add it to your Pride playlist. You need to go.
Giving me hell, you're really pulling me through it.
You need to go and check out Queers for Queers on Spotify, the Your Queer Story playlist. And also, with Pride coming up, I don't know if you've got any Pride events that you're able to go to or not. I know there's a couple things that are opening up. I know a lot of people are pushing their Pride events to the end of the summer, so August and September. If you're vaccinated and you're able to get out and go and enjoy Pride, go to yourqueerstory.com, go to our shop and our menu, and get yourself some Pride merch. We've got lots of t-shirts. We've got t-shirts that have the original Your Queer Story design. And we've also got queer designers who have, we've either bought designs from them or we've sponsored them. So that means that they've put their stuff on our shop. And when you buy something, they get a little bit something back. So go to yourqueerstory.com, check out our Pride merch. And we will be back in a second with our final segment, which is Queer Parent Life.
To do it, please stop playing with my heart before you tear it right apart.
Like I said, we are moving on to.
Now you're going through it. But won't you tell me to come over? Let you cry right on my shoulder. Oh, Kelly.
So again, we are moving on to the next segment, which is Queer Parent Life. But you all got a chance to see or hear what our kids have to endure every day with Samantha constantly breaking out into song.
Our kids love when I sing. So this week on Being a Parent.
Oh, there go the dogs. Anyways, this week on Being a Parent.
Are you done? Okay. So this week on Being a Parent, one of our children explained why, unfortunately, you should not poop under a deck.
No, you shouldn't. Don't do it.
It's that was not a good idea. No. I didn't know. Now I know.
No. Yep.
No. So that was fun. They did not poop under a deck with us, but they learned that in life and thought it was good enough wisdom to share with others.
Wisdom to share. Yes.
We also had a debate back and forth for about 3 days over buying a pool.
Yep.
And Evan, tell them who won the debate.
I won the debate.
But we have a pool.
It's one of those Intex pools, you know, that's like, it's not It's not a super expensive or permanent pool, but it's good for what we have.
Please write to Evan at Your Queer Story on Twitter if you think that was a bad idea or a good idea. Give us your feedback.
No, because we did not, we talked a lot about it. So first of all, Samantha didn't want a pool. We needed a pool. It's hot outside. We have two kids in the middle of summer. They're all old enough now to be in a pool. It's not like we have toddlers. Yes, you have to worry. They are old enough. And as much as you can go to the beach in Rhode Island, and you really can, you can go, there's always a beach 20 minutes away. It's still a hassle because you got to pack up and you got to go there. And I'm sure we will still go to the beach frequently, but it's just so hot. I mean, it's already going to be almost 90 degrees at the end of this week. I was like, it's just too hot. And so Samantha said, we don't have the money for a pool. We can't do that. We've got too much things going on. And I said, we really need a pool. And then did you want to add something?
Well, then I thought, well, if we're going to spend the money, we might as well get a real pool and have somebody else install it.
Yeah.
So then I was like, well, let's just do it. It's an investment, whatever. We have the money. I mean, we'll just do it. Mm-hmm. And then Evan talked me down off the cliff, but I had already gotten there. You know what I mean? I had already been on the cliff. So then when he talked me down off the cliff to the Intex inflatable pool, it was easier pill to swallow. So I said, fine. It was very hot at work.
Yeah.
And that's all. I was very hot.
And I knew.
He also called me at 8 a.m. right before I started teaching my work day. Mm-hmm. And he said, I just want to let you know it's going to be 88 this weekend. All right. Bye.
Yeah. Just wanted to let her know. And you know what? Because I'm right. Because you're sitting there and you're sweating. And can you imagine the kids, which J1 would be fine, but J2, not fine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, precisely.
And you did, she went from like 0 to 100 real quick because she went from no, we can't get this pool. We can't to, you know what? Let's get the whole thing. And I was, which I couldn't, I called, you know, first of all, I called Leslie's pools and they're like, oh, we don't have any pools. We've been out of pools. We don't even have an ETA when we're getting new pools. I was like, okay, that's not a good sign. And then I called someone else and they did have pools, but it was going to be a whole thing. We weren't going to get it for a month and it was going to be thousands of dollars. So yeah, we compromised.
Now we have a medium sized pool. Honestly, perfect size for the kids.
Yeah.
But now we have to level our ground, buy sand, fill the pool. So all of the things I told Evan, like, well, it's going to be a bit of work.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Now we got to do it. So maybe on the next date night, you can get that update to see if we've divorced over the, process.
Our children have already decided like what kind of pool floats they're going to get. Mm-hmm. One of our children both of our kids like to read books, but they're not bookworms. No. One of them likes to read books more than the other.
Yeah.
And they both do read. What are you looking at?
I kept thinking I was seeing something out the window.
Okay, that's creepy and unsettling. Please stop looking like
that.
All right.
Anyway, so what?
Sorry.
Our children
like
to read.
Our children like to read, but like they don't stop what they're doing in a day to read. Mm. If we ask them to read, they do. Sometimes they like to read a book at night. They're not against it, and they're good at it. But it's not their every day. However, one of them said, Samantha, we could get one of those shark floaties and I could lay in it and I could read a book, which is great. So we'll see how often that happens this summer. Right,
definitely.
Love the pre-planning on that. I don't know. I guess that's
he's a planner.
Yeah,
he is a planner. He likes to plan out all the things that he's going to do. Yeah. Every time he does something, like yesterday, he went outside. He's like, I'm going to take my blanket and I'm going to take some snacks. Now, he doesn't want to lay out outside, but he wants to have his blanket, his pillow, and his snacks out there in case he wants to take a nap while he's playing.
Just like when we went to like a picnic at a local like state park and we had with a bunch of family and he took his blanket and his pillow and he planned that he was going to take a nap at the park in the back of the car.
If you ever told him you're going to need to take a nap today, well, then you might as well just go fuck yourself because you just put yourself through, you just created hell for yourself.
The Saturday that he did truly need to take a nap and we tried to force him to stay in his room to take a nap, he did everything but. But yeah. Anyway, is parenting. And any of you that are parents know that. And any of you who are not parents probably don't find this nearly as funny.
You're like, why are they talking about
it? I know. Stop talking about your kids.
But we can't help it. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. And that's even on date night, we talk about our kids because that's what parent life is like.
I know.
So
that is going to bring us to the end. Yep. We have to wrap up Demi Lovato and their newfound identity. Mm-hmm. We have The Aces. Go listen to them. Please, dear God, listen to them.
Yep.
And we have a pool sitting in our backyard that needs to be set up. Mm-hmm. Okay. If anybody's willing to come by, I'm not going to give you our address.
No.
But if it was inflated at the end of a day, I'd be very happy.
Yeah.
And with that, don't miss me too much. I'll be back next month. Mm-hmm. And until then, sorry, you have to listen to the history facts. And make sure say hello to Paul for me.
Yeah. Make sure you check out yourqueerstory.com and get your Pride merch. Check out Queers for Queers on Spotify. Make sure you're checking out our blogs and everything else that we have on there. We do have a lot of great things planned for you in June to celebrate Pride Month. So thanks for joining us and stay queer.